Aloha, I'm Professor Butch Finley, and welcome to the DKI APCSS session, Why Do We Care About Complexity? And Why Is It So Hard to Understand? Here's some what we want to talk about in the next few minutes. Complex systems act differently than complicated. That's one reason why we care. And the most important reason is most of the problems we face are, in fact, complex. Why do we have so much trouble understanding and grasping complex systems? Our brains are built that way. Biology and plus our soul, our culture, our training, etc., all make it easier to understand complicated problems than complex problems. Framing is one tool that we use to help us understand, but it also adds a bit of complexity of its own. So let's jump into it. Here's some foundational ideas on what we want to talk about. As I said, almost all of the problems that we face, you face as a security practitioner, are complex in nature. We as individuals and as groups of peoples, as societies, are complex in nature also. Evolution has given us a great brain that works very well, very fast, to figure out simple and at some level, complicated problems. It doesn't do very well for complexity, and we'll talk about why in just a moment, okay? As I mentioned earlier, add to that the fact that we've been trained, you've been trained to break problems down into the simpler elements and put them back together so they work. That works for complicated problems. It does not work with complexity, okay? Here's two examples of the kind of problems we face. Yes, we can understand that a cause, a root cause of the flooding was a tsunami, and that political issues were a root cause of the riot on the right. However, when you go beyond that and you start to look at what exactly is going on and why the various parts of the situation are working the way they are, it's complicated. It's complex, not complicated. See, I made the same mistake that all of us do in combining those two words. Okay. Here in the United States and in much of the world, we have two competing ideas on how to think about reality, how to think about government policy and dealing with the problems that we face. The first way is to assume linear causality. A leads to B, leads to C, leads to D, predictability. The second way is gaining more traction, becoming more prevalent, is the notion that we have to accept complexity, that we have to accept uncertainty. Nonlinear causation is the real way that the world functions. Okay? Each of these approaches gives you a different answer. If you take the complicated approach, the linear approach, it says that the security environment is in fact knowable if you get enough data, if you think about it hard enough. That everything has a root cause or several root causes, and that again, you can find out what those are if you dig hard enough. And finally, the linear logic says that if you create good understanding and you add good planning and policy and good execution, you'll come out with a predictable result. That's true for a complicated situation. With complexity, everything's different. Complexity says, no, you don't know, and you cannot know the full interactions and the full range of characters involved in a complex problem. There are no root causes. Everything is connected to everything, and everything changes everything. There's no particular one thing or several things that you can do in a complex problem to solve it. That means that no matter how good your policy, no matter how good your planning, no matter how good your execution, you're still going to end up with uncertainty and unpredictable results. What you have to plan for is to manage the uncertainty, not to get rid of it. Okay. Now, these two competing ideas sound like either or. That's not the case. The world does, in fact, have complicated problems that need to be dealt with. You need both of these solutions, these approaches, in order to deal with reality. There's some assumptions that we need to make, and when we start talking about why is complexity so hard to grasp? Why do we look at situations and say, I cannot understand what's going on here? As I said earlier, your brain has been evolved to look for simple, immediate problems and solutions. I see movement in the shadow. It must be a tiger. I need to run away. That's the way our brains work. Very, very quick, very linear, time-bound, very efficient, but doesn't work in a complex situation. We're not at all comfortable with thinking about complex problems. Our brains are not helping us in that regard. And as I said, our training says, break the problem down and you can fix it. That leaves us with a choice. Between those two systems, we can accept what's comfortable to us and keep on thinking about the world in a linear, complicated, I can fix the problem way, or we can get uncomfortable and accept reality as it is and deal with it. Okay? Your choice. There are three schools of thought about how we understand reality, and I'll get to how these connect here in a moment. From Aristotle to the Enlightenment, we thought that the best way to understand reality was you observe it, but then you think about it. You go into a room and you come up with a theory and you think through the implications of your theory until you've laid out a line of logic that says, that's reality. The Enlightenment came along and said, no, that's not reality. That's a smart guy's, or maybe a not-so-smart guy's, idea of what reality might be in an ideal situation. What we really have to do to understand reality is experiment. We observe, we think of what might be going on, but then we test it. And we understand that the reality we're testing is not necessarily the reality that we're observing. And then there's a third approach, which, as I said earlier, says we need both. The world operates in both kinds of ways. In fact, this fellow, Daniel Kahneman, in his book, Thinking Fast and Slow, posits that your brain has two, what he called, operating systems. Not structures, but way that the brain processes data. The fast system is the one that evolved earliest. That's your system that reacts immediately to what your senses are saying. See tiger, run. Very often that fast system processes information before it even comes to your conscious mind. You're moving before you recognize that you've seen a shadow. Okay. The slow system, on the other hand, evolved later in our history and involves our conscious mind. The fast system is subconscious, and that's where the brain spends most of its time. The slow system is what we think we're thinking about. Okay? It's much more energy costly, so your mind doesn't like to do that. It likes to rely on the fast system, very efficient, to do two things. Get you moving, but also to alert your conscious mind to a danger that needs to be thought through. Okay. Again, you need both of those, but it invites you to think in terms of most of what's going on in your brain, in your mind, is outside your awareness. Okay. We have limits to what we can know, what we can think, etc. You know, we're not completely objective. The language that we use, whether it's English, Chinese, Spanish, Arabic, doesn't matter. The language shapes how we understand the world. The words we use and the approach that language does. Culture as well. We're prejudiced. Nobody likes to admit that, but every one of us likes certain things and dislikes certain things. The things we like, we give more credit to. The things we don't like, we undercut. We have lots of preconceptions. We will talk about frames later. We have frames that we say the Arab-Israeli problem is one of inequality. Or we say the Arab-Israeli problem is one of security. We presume, and when we see something new, we stuff it into that preconceived notion, whether it's right or not. Okay? There's some other limits to our thinking. Our knowledge is compartmented. We work in a bureaucracy. The Department of Defense doesn't talk to the Department of State. Finance doesn't talk to planning. You have those bureaucratic boundaries. Technology determines what you can know. The brain knowledge that I'm talking about has only been available in the last couple of decades as MRI machines and those kind that kind of technology allowed us to start to look at a living brain and figure out what it's actually doing. Ideology limits what we can think about. Have you ever been told, don't think that, that's a dangerous idea? Whether it's religion or politics or some other kind of ideology, it shapes what we can know and what we do know. We all have unreliable sources of information. Because of all of these uncertainties in what we can know, our sources have the same limitations. They're there. And then finally, we can only know what we know. The famous story of the wise men, the blind men, and the elephant. Yes, every one of those wise men have an idea of what the elephant is like. They can feel the tail, a rope. They can feel the tusk, a spear, et cetera, et cetera. And the moral of the story always is, well, we have to accept each perspective. And that's true. Each of them has a limited amount of knowledge about the elephant. What's not often talked about is collectively, they still don't have a complete picture of the elephant. They have a picture of a rope with a wall, with a fan, with a spear. I'm not sure what that looks like in terms of elephantness. They are things they cannot know as blind men. No matter how much they touch the elephant, they cannot tell me whether it's a pink elephant or a gray elephant. They can tell me what it smells like, but they can't tell me the color of it. There are things that they cannot know. Okay, and that brings me to this, degrees of certainty. There's a well-known schema out there that talks about known knowns. I know what I know, okay? Unknown unknowns. I know, but I don't know that I know. I forgot, okay? Known unknowns. I'm very conscious of the fact that I have no idea how to fix a jet engine, okay? And then finally, the famous unknown unknowns. I simply don't know what I don't know. Now, all of these four categories are based on a premise that I can know. That if I talk to enough people, if I research enough, if I do enough experiments, I can find out what I don't know. And even I can find out what I don't know that I don't know. In looking at the complexity and thinking about it, I propose a fifth category for you to consider. And that's what I call the unknowable, things that I simply cannot know. As we look at complex systems, one of the unpredictability results is we simply cannot know the system as a whole. Okay? Clausewitz, dealing with really chaotic kinds of situations, but nonetheless very complicated situations, complex situations, came up with this notion of coup d'oeil, the glance of the eye. We call it intuition, that kind of a notion that a person can look at a situation and with enough background, enough experience, they can quickly identify what's important in the situation, what needs to be done now. That's true until it's not true. With complex systems not repeating themselves necessarily in the same way, we have to be very careful of looking subconsciously into the back of our history and drawing from previous experience to come up with a solution for today's problems at this location. We don't have that kind of ability. One of the tools we use to help us in understanding complexity is this notion of framing. That's simply the notion that we can decide what's in the system and what's not in the system. You may have seen photographers doing this kind of thing when they're looking at a situation, trying to decide what they want to put in the picture and what they don't want to focus on, what's important and what's not important. That's a frame. It's literally a photographic frame. Basically, a frame is your perspective about the fundamental nature of the problem you're facing. Is it an economic problem? Is it a social problem? Is it a military problem? Is it a math problem? What is it as you see it? It defines boundaries. It says this is important, that's not important. It enables us to talk to each other in terms of sharing our ideas. If I'm coming at a problem as an economic problem, and you're coming at it from a military perspective, military frame, we're going to have difficulty communicating unless we understand the frame that we're using. Finally, frames also help us determine ways that we might interface with and take action in a system. Okay? Let me give you a couple of examples of frames out of the real world. Here's the famous Daesh, or Islamic State flag, and that has been interpreted, has been given these kinds of frames by different people. Depending on who you are, what you believe, what your purpose is, what your interest is, each one of these can be true or can be false for you. There is no right frame for a complex problem. Okay? Another example, piracy off the Horn of Africa. How would you decide what kind of problem that is? Is it a commercial problem? We got fishermen out there, or boats out that are getting seized by pirates. Is it an operational problem for the Coast Guards and the military that are out there trying to work together? Is it a law enforcement problem, or is it something else? Is it a regional capacity? Do the nations along the east coast of Africa need more capacity to do maritime security? Perhaps it's an economic problem. Pirates are farmers that have no ability to farm at the moment. Okay? Or maybe it's a fisheries management problem. It's a pollution problem. Again, depending on who you are, what your interest is, why you're looking at the problem, what you see as an outcome, an output that you like or don't like, each one of these could be right or could be wrong. Okay? We have two kinds of frames that we deal with inside our head. One goes back to that notion of intuitive. An intuitive frame, it's subconscious typically. We don't know it. We don't see it until we take action. Based on a lot of things you see there at the slide, our culture, our background, our experience, our training, all of those shape how we view the world, how we frame the world. Typically, that's that fast brain system that we talked about earlier. The slow brain says, I know how I'm thinking about the world. I know what my frame is. I choose my frame. I can even choose to understand that this problem has multiple frames. Okay? Conscious frames aim to impart meaning to the problem that you see. We choose a frame to give us power over the problem. We're not looking for an objective truth, some sort of Aristotelian thing, nor are we looking for root causes, because as a conscious frame, we know there are no root causes. So let's understand the system, okay? Sort of in wrapping up, let's talk about what complexity thinking cannot do for us as decision makers. It can't make life simple. Sorry, I wish it would, but there is no standard operating procedure. There's no rule, there's no formula, there's no right answer. Okay? Wish it were, but it's not. Complexity doesn't give you technical understanding of the system. We're talking an art, not a science. Dealing with complicated systems is a science more than art. But complexity is, dealing with complexity is an art form. Unfortunately, thinking about complex systems cannot guarantee success. They're unpredictable. Your boss doesn't like that, you don't like that, I don't like that. That's the reality. So why do we care? What can systems, complex systems thinking do for us? It can help you understand that big ball of wax that's out there that you cannot easily understand. Complexity thinking can help you with that. It can help you recognize those outside influences that are coming in that might affect you, okay? And then thinking in terms of complexity can remind you that you don't eliminate uncertainty, you simply plan to manage it, okay? So here's what we talked about. We talked a little bit about why do we care about complexity. That's the way the world works. That's the kind of problems we deal with. We talked about why our biological brains and our training conspire to make it difficult to understand, and then how we can use framing and other tools to help us understand complexity. Thank you very much for your time. I hope that's of use to you. See you on other APCSS podcasts. Good day.